problem that the task force was asked to address was really two problems, one of capability and one of scalability. It was very obvious to Secretary Napolitano and the leaders within the DHS that we're just not getting the job done. It's always easier to be on offense than defense, and we're losing badly.
And the point was that to turn the tide, you need better skilled employees, better skilled people, better development of skills?
We very quickly came to the conclusion that there were five objectives that needed to be addressed if we were going to turn the tide. And the first of these was to ensure that the people doing mission-critical work were competent and proficient. Secondly, we needed to find the ways and means of creating a better working environment to attract the talent that we were going to need. And third, we need to build a national pipeline of many thousands of young people who want to get into cybersecurity as a profession. To that end, we need to move very, very quickly to create a core team. We targeted a number of 600 superbly competent and proficient people to build upon. And then lastly, fifth, we need to build a cyber reserve corps, kind of like the National Guard. We need to be able to call up into the private sector thousands of people if needed to be able to lend assistance in a time of national emergency.
Let me back up to that 600 superbly confident and proficient people to build upon. DHS has been trying to increase their numbers around cyber for the last few years. What was the recommendations you guys made, and why 600 versus 1,000 versus 200?
That's a question of scalability. We need to have an adequate number of people to address the increasing scale of the threat that we're dealing with. So our first set of recommendations deal with this issue of competency and proficiency. How do we identify which jobs are mission critical? How do we train these people? We recommended scenario-based training as the most practical way of bringing people up to speed. And lastly, simulation-based testing to verify their performance capability. That's the first thing that we have to do. We have to be able to set certification standards, testing standards, proficiency standards, much as the FAA has these standards for pilots. I don't think anyone would argue that the flight crew on an airplane are mission-critical personnel, and therefore lives depend upon their performance, and therefore it's reasonable to expect that these people are licensed, that they're certified to fly that aircraft, that they're proficient.
One of the other recommendations you guys talk about is not just defining those what proficiency is and those roles, but also having DHS kind of develop and maintain those advanced cyber skills. Talk about those recommendations under that objective.
We're not going to be able to attract the necessary talent and the quantities that are needed to address the threat unless we can make DHS a cool place to work. What's going on right now between industry and government is fratricide, where they're competing with each other, companies are competing with each other, government agencies are competing with each other, the public and private sectors are competing with each other for what is a very, very small talent pool. This is not a good thing. What we have to do is dramatically improve the size of that pool. It's imperative that we give the educational institutions that are going to be training people better direction on what standards they need to train to, and also what kind of people are best suited to do this kind of work. But having done that, not all of these people are going to be able to find work in the Department of Homeland Security. What they need is the cream of the crop. They need the very best of the best. And the work that they're doing within DHS, think of it as on parallel with the work that the National Security Agency does. And so we need people that can perform to those standards. Very few will be able to do it. And to attract them, DHS has to be a cool place to work. They have to be inspired. They have to be fascinated with the work, with the opportunity, and with the career path that represents for them. There are a lot of advantages, a lot of career path advantages and opportunities to doing this work in DHS. We have to get that message out. But the processes are not in place yet to make that statement true. So we have to make it true, and then we have to sell it to these young people who want to go into this field.
Is there something that can be done internally to government to make sure that the people in government now have the skills that are needed or can build those skills or work toward those skills needed to secure the network?
Well, absolutely. That's going to have to happen. So the standards that under Objective Ones that are being created, those people currently working within cybersecurity within the DHS are going to have to meet those same standards. So what's going to happen over the next several months is a process of detailing out how that is all going to work. What are those standards? How do we test to those standards? What happens if someone is in a position that's mission critical and they can't perform to standards? Well, then we have to have remedial training. Just like in aviation, every 6 months an airline pilot has to go to school, and they, you know, what happens if they aren't performing to standard? Well, you don't throw them out the door. What you do is you figure out what it is that, you know, where's the hole? What's the problem? What is it that they're not understanding? Why aren't they performing? Get to the bottom of that and then retrain them to standard. That almost always works. What I'm very excited about in particular is Recommendation 8, which focuses on veterans. We have some 750,000 veterans that are currently unemployed. We have more veterans every day coming out of the military. This is a wonderful program for some of them because today's military is so computer literate. It's so integrated into their daily routines, and they bring a host of skills that give them an advantage in this field. They're well-disciplined. They've already demonstrated their patriotism and their commitment. There's a whole host of reasons why veterans in particular make a very good fit for this profession.
What comes next for these recommendations? They went to Secretary Napolitano. She's looking at them. Did you get a sense from her? Because I know she spoke to the task force earlier in the week. Did you get a sense from her of what comes next?
Yes, we did. We briefed Secretary Napolitano on Tuesday morning, and it was a quite gratifying meeting. She was very engaged, asked a lot of questions, had read the report before the meeting, and was committed to its implementation. And in fact, there was a press release that they put out the end of that day in which she announced that they were implementing all 11 of these recommendations immediately. And so I've been in numerous conversations since in which it's very clear that they're off to the races with these recommendations. She was quite happy with them.